Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So to end this hour, we want to begin an occasional series of conversations about the pragmatic details and possibility of making change happen ourselves as we think ahead to this 2017 year. Local change, mobilizing community energy, using institutions right around us to make changes we can see, changes that go beyond opinions and go beyond policy debates to something more tangible, collaborative, and maybe requiring some compromise, something we don't see much of at the federal level. The senior strategic advisor for Oxfam in Great Britain, Duncan Green, knows all about how political change creates opportunities for the growth of local activism. Green explains in his new book, How Change Happens, that there is an organized methodology for channeling good intentions into quantifiable action.
I think it's really interesting that at some point people's motivations can get tangled up with their effectiveness. So if you want to jump into politics because you're angry or you're upset or you just want to say something, then it's quite likely the thing you're going to say is not going to be terribly productive. On the other hand, that's the passion that drives people to get involved. But can they also be a bit cold-blooded? And, you know, what I'm writing about in my book is the patterns of change that I've seen over decades in different but comparable situations, these big shocks which lead to big changes. What do people do and when is it effective? So you have to kind of be an activist but also a reflectivist. You have to reflect on what works at the same time as you're passionate. And people find it hard to ride those two horses at the same time.
What is the challenge that Oxfam sees out there in the world and, you know, has seen for decades? And how do you go about methodically trying to address it?
I think currently what we're seeing is we're at the tail end of a period of incredible progress, the last 70 years in terms of people's life possibilities, health, literacy, rights. But we're banging up against some really big challenges, things like massive rising inequality, the threat of climate change, ongoing problems around, you know, violence against women. There's a bunch of stuff we still need to do. And I guess Oxfam's big picture is if you can get power into the hands of the people at the sharp end and actually support them in their effort to bring about change, then some amazing things can happen. It's not going to be engineered from here or from London.
And so if you're looking to get involved, don't look to the federal government or a new star, a rising candidate, but find people who are connected in your community making changes, and that's the place to start.
I don't think it's either or. You need effective government. You need effective states to actually, you know, build the roads, make sure things work. But there is a tendency to always look for the next leader who's going to solve everything, and I think that very rarely works. So it is about building the twin powers of an effective state, but also active citizens who are confident and capable and actually keep an eye on things and make sure that the government stays honest. And when you've got those two things together, then amazing things can happen.
Does this involve creating new institutions or reinvigorating old institutions?
At the moment, my main concern is that what I would call progressives have got stuck in a bit of a bubble and need to spend some time understanding where the rest of society is and building bridges to the people we can build bridges to. So I think we need to go back and do some longer term work on social cohesion, on what binds society together. So in the UK, I think it would be great if Oxfam, which has lots of presence in different communities, could just start getting people to, you know, meet a migrant, have a coffee with a migrant, find out what their lives are like and start rebuilding that sense that we're all in one society, because it's all got a bit polarized and we've lost sight of those really big underlying issues of how people see each other.
And what organizations do you particularly admire in their ability to affect change without worrying about national notoriety, getting on the Today Show, but just are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
I think faith organizations are massively underestimated in their importance. They do this values stuff. They talk to people about what life should be like. They have a sense of moral direction. And I think a lot of activists have rather lost contact with faith groups. And that's a problem, because then we get sucked into a kind of evidence-based numbers game and we lose sight of those bigger moral questions. The other one, I think there's some really interesting grassroots community organization work in the UK, drawing on actually the Chicago-based work that President Obama was part of in his youth, which is saying, We're going to work with the institutions that are that matter to people locally, whether they're mosques, churches, schools. We're going to go around estates. We're going to talk to people and find out what makes them angry and what makes them upset and what they want to change. And then we're going to turn that into a grassroots movement. And it's a very it's outside formal politics. They really don't care about the formal political game. They're trying to get people at the grassroots to organize and make change happen where they live.
Often what is bemoaned in American society is a lack of common ground, a lack of common vision. And yet, when there's a disaster, a crisis of some kind, all of a sudden, boom, you've got a huge amount of common vision. What kind of an opportunity is that to create longer-term changes?
I mean, one of the big ideas in the book is that change tends not to happen smoothly. It sort of groups around these moments, these big shocks. So in the UK, we got Votes for Women after World War I. We got the welfare state after World War II. There's a link between big shocks and political change. So if you're interested in change, you've got to see the possibilities in chaos and in big shocks. And I think that's when those shocks happen, the status quo is thrown up in the air. People can imagine different worlds. And you've got to move fast and you've got to see what you can sort of bring into the debate around those moments. And I think the US and the UK are living through such moments at the moment. These are moments when society will change very fast and we need to be on our toes and we need to contribute everything we can to the way those changes happen, both in terms of encouraging good change, but also actually trying to stop bad change.
You referred to the Overton window particularly as a window of opportunity.
Oh, that's a particular idea that at any one time, there's a particular range of topics which you can talk about in polite society or in political society. And if you're outside that Overton window, you're dismissed as a crazy. Mm. But the weird thing is that that window shifts over time. So being aware of the way the window is shifting and getting a little bit ahead of it so you can push things into the window is a really good sort of longer term role for activists.
I saw scrawled on a wall in the subway here in New York the words, "What can we do now together?" How would you take those words and make the first step towards change?
This is about power, okay? So power is sort of the underlying force field underneath change. Sometimes I feel like Neo in The Matrix. And the way to actually make power a positive force for change is to have people's build people's personal sense of power, that sense of power within, that I can do things, I have rights, people should listen to me. Then it's about them getting organized. And then it's about those organizations making alliances, sometimes with, you know, as I say, unusual suspects, building coalitions for change and then going for it. So there's a very sort of well-documented and well-tested way of going all the way from that light bulb moment when you think the world needs to change to actually making it happen.
Check out How Change Happens by Duncan Green. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been good to be here.